Well, I think it's appropriate this morning that I give you an idea of how my sermon came to be. Very often throughout the week, I talk to God, and I say, God, I'm going to need a sermon for Sunday, as though God doesn't know that. And I get a little stirring, I get a little anxious sometimes when it gets to be Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and my deadline's getting here. And God, kind of speak to me so I can speak to your congregation, your words, whatever it is that you want to say to your people, Lord. And so I happened to be in my office, and I was going through some books, and from time to time I'll pick up old books that I used to read and go back into them and read more about Jesus or learn something different or maybe catch something I missed the first time I read the book. And I came across this specific book. It's called Questions Jesus Raised. And if you look at it, you can kind of tell it's an old book. It was actually printed in 1986. Wow, some of you weren't even here then, were you? But needless to say, this book was printed then. And then I was just perusing it, and as I did, I came upon this one chapter. And in it, it says, do you believe that Jesus brings life not only in the hereafter, but also in the present? Good question, right? We don't just have Jesus for later in eternity. We have Jesus when? Right here, right now. And do you believe that he's the life bringer? The one that brings light into your life, the question asks, so that your life will flourish. Good questions, don't you think? And then I read this. So much in our time, the stench of death is around us. Yeats spoke for our age. Things fall apart. The center cannot hold. Death is everywhere. Marriages strain, crack, split, and shatter in 100 terrible pieces. Millions of people are facing starvation and death by starvation. Drug addiction continues to soar. We continue to stockpile nuclear weapons in the name of life. Burnout in the 80s describes numbness. And people, millions, facing obscurity, facing nothingness every day, feeling empty. We live in a world surrounded by death. Written in 1986. That jumped out to me because it could have been easily 2022, do you not think? And some other things might be added here that unfortunately we've been facing from 1986 until now. Darkness, death, all those kind of depressing things still continue to be in our world, do they not? Hatred, bigotry, oppression, apathy. People still feeling empty inside, searching, searching, searching for answers, finding nothing at the end of the day, still seeking meaning, still seeking a purpose, still seeking life, even in 2022. So thus, the sermon was born. Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 4. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, John the Baptist, that is, he left Judea and returned to Galilee. He went first to Nazareth, then left there and moved to Capernaum, beside the Sea of Galilee, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. This fulfilled what the prophet said through Isaiah, Isaiah 9, verses 1 and 2. In the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, beside the sea, beyond the Jordan River, in Galilee, where so many Gentiles live, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. For those who lived in the land where death casts its shadow, a light has shined. Where death, that's the scripture that came to mind is after I read that excerpt I shared with you, where death casts its shadow. And I had to dig in the Bible and find where it was. And there it was right in Matthew. See, death has been around people forever. But so is life, and so is the light. Jesus began his ministry in those two cities. And I want to tell you about those two cities. They're actually villages, essentially. Zebulun and Naphtali. These are two of the sons of Jacob. When they came into the promised land, they were given the northeast section of Israel. They were the grandsons of Abraham. You know him. So Zebulun and Naphtali, they settled there in that northeast section, what we now know of the city of the Gentiles. This is the city where the Assyrians took over and essentially decimated those Israelites. This is the place where those that are Naphtali, the Naphtali actually means struggle. Struggle. And Zebulun means dwelling and honor. So two names, one's a struggle and one's a dwelling and honor. Those are the two cities where the Gentiles were. And what happened to those early Israelites when they moved there, if you go back up to chapter 4, when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness by the devil said to him, look at all this that I can give you. And Jesus answered, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him. So what happened to those two tribes that moved to the northeast section of Israel? They forsook God. They became a part of the Gentile nation, the pagan nation. Their customs, they fell away from God, is the best way to say it. And they began to live in darkness. They took their relationship with God and set it aside to live in a place which actually was very prosperous. It was right by the Mediterranean Sea, the Jordan River, and it went all the way down to the Dead Sea, where people would often come there and buy goods and buy fish and things of this nature. So those people gave up God to have prosperity, to have a good life, and yet they sat in darkness. And what ended up happening to those people was more and more, every time a war began, they would come through that northeast section trying to get south to Jerusalem. So every time a war, some country or some people tried to take over that land, they would always go through Zebulun and Naphtali. And so those people lived in a time of war and decay and struggle all the time. 730 years later, Jesus appears on the scene. Where does he begin his ministry? Not in Jerusalem, the capital city where the temple and the synagogue was, where people worship God. He went to the very place that was the most isolated, most decrepit, most dark place there could be because there was no God. And he went to the place where there was the greatest need for God. So he fulfilled Isaiah 9, 1 and 2, saying that even those that are sitting in darkness, a light has shined. That light is Jesus Christ. He began his ministry there. He saw their struggle, and he wanted to come and dwell among them. So the city of struggle and the city of dwelling became the place of honor. The very first place that God shows up in Jesus Christ, the place of darkness, decay, war, famine, godliness, all the way around. The people with the greatest spiritual need is where Jesus began his ministry. So I don't know about you. Did your life and your struggles, your place of darkness, isn't that also the place where Jesus began his ministry in you? If you were to think about it, where you were and where you are now, at one time you were in a place where you didn't think God could love you, right? You think God rejected you, right? You think because maybe you are different, God would not care for you because you were a Gentile. You had a label on yourself that you called yourself, and God could not love you, right? Especially because of how awful you were not being following God in the right ways, correct? All of us that are sinners, right? We just can't seem to get it right. So, of course, you would think God had forsaken you. God didn't want you. You were in the place of struggle, struggling with who you were, struggling with what you did, and struggling to have a relationship with God, and feeling a struggle sometimes in the way in which you lived, the torment you sometimes went through emotionally, mentally, and physically. All of us have been there, have we not? That place of darkness where hope didn't exist, where all we had was despair, and we kind of got complacent and figured this is the best as life is ever going to be. Evidently, it's not going to be God and me, it's going to be me by myself, because God could not possibly want me. I'm just a reject. Because you got to understand the other thing about Galilee and Nazareth. Those are the two places that people despise the most. The people that didn't understand God love. The people that didn't understand people. The people that put people in classes of who's the best and who's the worst. And where does Jesus grow up? Nazareth. That crappy little town. The place where people look down on it. But where does he begin his ministry? In Nazareth and in Galilee. Now, here's the thing about that. We talked about when it used to be that we found darkness and decay and sometimes death, right? Spiritually speaking, right? In all of our lives? Do we not sometimes experience that throughout our lives? Do things not sometimes go awry for us? Are there times when we wonder, where is God? Or whatever you're struggling with personally, you can't seem to change that one habit, or you can't seem to see a way clear to find the answers for your life, or there's tragedies that keep occurring and occurring and occurring. And if we were to look at our world today, it is in such chaos, such depravity, such pain right now in our world, throughout our world. People are suffering on this planet this very day. But where does Jesus show up every time? Right in the middle of that. He goes to the garbage dumps. He goes to the trash heaps. He goes to the jails. He goes to the prisons. He goes to the hospitals. He goes to the hospices. He goes to your very place of need inside of you. We all have needs that have not been met. Pain inside of us that's not yet been cured. Am I right? Of course. So... Of course I'm right. I'm just telling you the truth, right? And some of us bury that pain, do we not? We have the smiley face up here, and down here we're all in turmoil. We put our praise reports out there, and inside we're dying sometimes, emotionally speaking, spiritually speaking. People around us are still hurting. People around us are still dying, and they're not yet known about salvation and eternal life. And some people that are living today are only living. They might be prosperous. They might have everything on the outside that looks really good, but inside they're empty, as Jesus spoke. Whitewashed graves and tombs, right? On the inside, empty. But Jesus wants to bring a filling. He wants to bring light into the darkness. He wants to meet each and every one of you, whoever you are, right at your place of need. He knows what you're going through. God sent Jesus to the place that was the worst on the planet in people's eyes, but had the greatest need as well. And what does he do when he's there? He heals the sick. He raises the dead, and he preaches the good news that there's salvation and forgiveness of sins for all humanity. And there is a light that people see suddenly, the joy that comes when they realize they're loved unconditionally forevermore, and that they matter, and they have a purpose to live to the fullest and have a relationship with God that's permanent. And in that permanency, when you have a need, Jesus is going to meet you right there. If you're in difficulty and you're struggling, Jesus meets you there. And if you just call on him and say, come to me and be my Zebulun, whatever it was. Begins with a Z, that's all I know. I'm starting to speak in tongues, I didn't even mean to. Zebulun. There, I got it. Come dwell in me. See, the last will be first, and the first will be last. Those that think they're above us, that's not where they're going to end up, because they're just judging us, right? Just like they judge Jesus for coming from Nazareth, of all places, the place of greatest need. Where do you think God ought to show up? Everywhere, right? So part of this message this morning is really to give you a history of your understanding that Jesus was sent by God to bring light, to lighten our loads, to take our burdens, to meet us in our despair and give us hope, to meet us in our depression and to give us freedom from doubt and fear and worry, to meet us in any place we are at any given moment of our life and to give us exactly what we need, hope, trust, faith, and resolution. But more than that, to just dwell with us in that, to be there with us through it. We have a God who comes beside us all the time to be with us in every time of our need. And in, just as in this case, who needed the forgiveness the most? These people, right? These two tribes that didn't get it right, that turned away from God. But where does God show up? In the place where people don't think God would show up. In our community, where people think they cannot have God, or they've given the wrong impression of God and our Christ. And then Jesus, after he meets those people there, heals them, preaches the good news, they suddenly lighten up and feel lighter. The light has come. They see the light. That there's light at the end of that tunnel and it's God. And things are going to get better for them spiritually speaking. And then he goes and he grabs all the disciples, many of the disciples shortly thereafter in the rest of chapter 4. You know, the fishermen, the perfectly chosen, appropriately gifted people. The nobodies. Common people, ordinary people, people like you and me that don't have any kind of special names behind our or things before or after our name or whatever the heck we need. Just people that love God, right? That Jesus said, come follow me and I'll teach you how to fish for people. Because there's more people like the people in Naphtali and Zebulun, are there not? Even today, even back in 1986. Even until who knows when Christ comes again, right? The need is always going to be great, but our God is always going to be greater. But God begins to choose people to then spread that light. And we see it in the Sermon on the Mount when he speaks to the disciples. Verse 14, 5:14. You are the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. Sometimes we as a small church, we think we're hidden. We're not hidden at all. People know about us. They're going to know more. Why? Because we're going to keep serving God. And we're going to keep bringing the light to people, are we not? No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Now listen, if you've been saved by Christ, if you've had your needs met, and if you've been at your darkest moment and God showed up and everything changed for you, when you become a person who's been changed, your role now is to help change people and change their eternity. We are people changers. All of us are different today than what we were last week, right? And I'm different now than I was in 1986. Glory to God. And a big hallelujah from Becky in the back. And we lived through the AIDS crisis. Talk about death. Talk about darkness. Talk about people that needed God. Talk about a people that were forgotten by people, cast aside by people, shunned by people. But we were a light because Christ decided to minister to those people, through many of us and many others. And things changed. And although those people died, if they were in our midst, if they were in shouting distance of me or whispering distance of me. And others, they heard about Jesus. They heard about Jesus Christ's love for them. And they were expecting eternity. And that's what they found. So even in that darkness, light came. Light came. Salvation came. The good news came. And people who thought they were unlovable were loved by God through others. That's who we are still today. No one lights a lamp and then puts it on under a basket. So what I'm saying there to you all, if you've been saved by Christ, if you've been changed, don't keep your gifts to yourself anymore, please. Get your flashlight out all the time. All around you, there are still darkness, people in darkness, people that need God. That's what we're here for, right? To be the light. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. Everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. This church has always been what's called a missionary church or a mission church. We feed the hungry. We send goods to the Dominican Republic, to orphans and children and teachers and people we don't even speak their language very well, Buenos Dias. But needless to say, person that can't say Zebulun, how am I going to say anything in Spanish? But yet when we go there and people go there and minister throughout this world now, started 30 years ago with us, they feel God's love. And they understand. And light goes to the impoverished cities and towns there. The unforgotten, the Hispanic people there that are impoverished beyond belief, monetarily speaking, but they're rich in love because the light, Jesus Christ himself, has visited there. Guess who the visitors are? We are those visitors. You see what I'm saying? We're the Jesuses today that bring the light wherever it is that we're to go. When our pantry people drive through, you'll see every race, ethnicity, color, shape, size, and age come through this place. You'll see poverty drive through this place. You'll see darkness come upon this place. Your heart will be wrenched by people that are hungry, their children, their animals. And yet there's a light at this place. It goes out in bags of food. It goes out in a smile and in a prayer. Miracles happen through that line. Those people are seeing a light in this place by the generosity of the people of this church and outside of this church. So even though they might drive in darkness and we think they're poor, they drive out rich as can be. Rich as can be. So full of joy. So feeling. They just can't wait to come back here. Not just for the food. They can't wait to see us, the volunteers. They tell us what a great church this is. We're a light shining out in the darkness. I'm proud to say that. So there's two things I want to say today as I close. One, if you're sitting in darkness today for any reason, Jesus, I promise you, will meet you at your place of need. If you are in that darkness or in that struggle and you want to speak to one of the pastors or deacons, we're here for you. We don't judge you. We don't care about your story. We're not going to tell your story except for the testimony you may want to give later when it changes. But don't sit there thinking that God can't care about you or worry about you or come to you. He went to Naphtali in Zebulun. He went to Nazareth, to Galilee, to the Gentiles, to the Samaritans, to the harlots, to the prostitutes, to the lepers, to the blind, to the lame, to the crushed in spirit, to the dead, and he rose them up, he can come to you too, can he? Please, please, if you need prayer, we're here to pray with you anytime. Secondarily, call on Jesus in that dark moment. I promise you, he'll show up. You'll either feel him, see him, or hear him. Because he's still alive today, working through the Spirit. And guess what? The early Jesus could only go so many places, right? Just like us. There's only so many homes we can go to, so many people we can talk to, so much we can do, correct? Even with the technology we have, we can't possibly reach everybody, can we? But God can through the Holy Spirit. That's the omniscient, omnipresent God that we serve. So when you have a need, please call on Jesus. Or I'll tell you this, most likely he's going to show up anyway. He showed up in Zebulun and Naphtali. They're like, what? You coming here? Yeah, he comes to dwell with us. Us imperfect, struggling, can't seem to get it together, going through life, sometimes suffering people. That's where Jesus shows up best. And he'll set up shop right inside of you and do some work inside of us all. So that's part one. If you're the person in need, know that God will meet the need. You're getting that this morning? No matter who you are, no matter where you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what you're going through, no matter how you're struggling, no matter how difficult life can be, no matter how much pain you're in, no matter how much you think you can't make it, yes, you, he'll come to you in that place of need. That's where he begins his ministry, and that's where he continues his ministry. And then part two, church. Guess who's the light of the world today? We are. You can be a light to anyone any given day. You don't have to know the fancy scriptures, although I can give you some if you need them. All you need to do, perhaps, is share your story. Speak to someone honestly and authentically about where you were and how God changed your life for the better. How that even though life is not perfect, is our life going to ever be perfect? Never. But we have a perfect God who will see us through everything. And be a person who honors others by being with them and present with them. Be a light to someone. And even if you're just new to this and you only got a little light to shine, so be it. Not all of you can be a fire light like I am some days. And thank God for that. But all of us together, if you take each and every one of you together, see, this church means together. It's a body of believers. It's the body of Christ. It's all of us together with all of our distinct individual and unique talents and gifts. We all know that, right? And all of us have a light, do we not? And even if you got a flashlight or a flickering light or a candlelight, or you got a flashing light that they put up, you know, when there's a big show, or you're a spotlight person. I don't know what kind of light you have, but we all have a light, don't we? And listen, church, we need your light. The world needs more light. And when you put anything out there, and whenever you say anything out there, whether it's Facebook or other places, or in your conversations, at a breakfast, at a lunch, at a dinner, anytime you're with somebody, whether you're at work, whether you're at home, whether you're in your own family, please be a light and let your light shine to lift up others. The world needs us. And I know the great big world is bigger than all of us. I get that. But God is still greater than that. We make it a matter of prayer that the light will come and shine. And for the meantime, Cornerstonians, you are the light of the world. In this world of darkness, wherever you come into contact with another human being, I don't care where they're from, how they speak, what they look like, what they sound like, what their gender is, or their non-gender, or whether they're gay, straight, zebras, I don't care what they are. I don't know where that came from, but needless to say, people are people, are they not? We all cry, we all are sorrow, we all suffer, we all bleed, and we're all one human family. Can we get that? And nobody has a right to judge another person. Got that too. But there's a lot of them out there. So guess what? That's bringing darkness, is it not? But we bring the light. We show people love. We show people love. Because that is who God is. So my friends, let me see your little light. You're going to let it shine? Let it shine? Really let it shine? Let it shine. Amen.